You notice that the opposite word says, scripture reading, that doesn't say George Theodore. Because George Theodore is not going to read no scripture this morning. I want you all to turn to page 707 in your hymnal. Page 707, not number 707. We're going to sing scripture this morning, led by a cantor and the choir. And notice that it does continue on page 708, just in case you get stuck. And at the conclusion of our singing of the scripture, we'll use our usual response for the word of God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Okay.
And if I may add, very intensive piece of music here. For the introduction, for the antiphon, I'll play it once through. Blair will sing it once through. And then on the third time, we'll all sing it together just so we can learn the melody. Every time, as it was pointed out, when the R comes up, then we just sing the antiphon one time between the verses.
God in scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
And because her name's not in the bulletin, our cantor this morning is Blair Carpenter. If you come to our 6 p.m., you know her well. She's a cantor there, and she sings regularly with our choir, in case you didn't recognize her. So we come together, as I was telling the children this morning, at the turning of the year. Today is the last Sunday of the church year. Next week, we start Advent, the beginning of the church year, a time of anticipation, waiting in expectation for the feast of Christmas, when God restored the fortunes of humanity by sending God's own Son, Jesus, to live among us as signs of God's love. So this week is kind of like New Year's Eve on the liturgical calendar. It's an appropriate time for looking back and for looking forward, for reflecting on the turning spiral of time as we end fall and we head toward the winter solstice. The days are shorter, the nights are longer, the trees have shed their leaves, we have put our gardens to bed for the coming months. This week, we are in a liminal, an in-between, a fallow time, a turning time. I have learned to think of the turning of the seasons, the turning of the year, more three-dimensional, like a spiral, rather than just a circle. I know that many cultures, including the Hebrews, who gave us the beautiful psalm that we actually sang, heard sung, which because psalms are actually songs for singing, the Hebrews thought of time as a circle. And there was no end to time. Everything was on the continuum of life's circle. It was all encompassed by God. What was most important was the quality of life that was happening, the essence, rather than the quantity in a straight line chronology like we tend to think of the history of time. For me, this ancient circle, as I said, extends three-dimensionally as a spiral, and every time we come around the circle of a day or a year or a week or a month, there is growth and learning. Hopefully, we don't just repeat the circle again in the very same way. Psalm 126 teaches us that our relationship with the holy is a circular, or in my image, a spiral movement. It's traditionally known as a song of ascent, meaning scholars believe that it was part of a collection of psalms sung by pilgrims going up to a sacred festival at the temple. They kind of run from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134. You can look and see which ones those were that the pilgrims would sing as they were actually traveling to Jerusalem. In the first turn of Psalm 126, the pilgrims sing their remembrance of the past work of God in their lives, the ways that God has protected and restored them after terrible trials in exile. They were taught by the prophets that exile was a consequence of turning away from God in faithlessness from God's ways of living. And yet they discovered that even in exile, God did not desert them. God kept them, never left them, and then restored their fortunes in bringing them home. Literally. And in their relationship to God, they rebuilt their houses, still weeping for the destruction they had experienced. God sustained them in the rebuilding, even as God restored their intimate relationship with God as God's people. Their sweat and their tears yielded to shouts of joy as they entered new homes and a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And so the pilgrims sing this remembrance, this story, joyfully as they travel, perhaps to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. God did this for them in the past. They know the character of God through God's actions. Therefore, God can be trusted to do this in the present and in the future. As they move through the spiral of history and their own life experiences, interacting with the divine, their understanding of God grew. Their faith in God deepened. What they had trusted experientially in the past could now inform their present and the future. So they sing, "The Lord will again restore our fortunes like the watercourses in the Negev, the streams that come each year with the rains to water the crops." They may have sown seeds in tears, planted seeds in exile, and even as they returned home, in complete unknowing of whether the crops will prosper. I mean, when we plant seeds, we don't know what's going to happen. There they are, into the dark of the earth. We have no idea, and we've lost all control. We plant seeds in great and sometimes terrifying unknowing, hoping they will prosper. And these pilgrims had hope. They put their trust in God, who will bring the joy of the harvest. They will come home with sheaves and shouts of joy. They have done it in the past. They will do it again. God is with them even as life ebbs and flows in its circular spiral movement through pain and suffering, through joy and plenty. These experiences come around again and again. In each turning, learning and growth happen that can be trusted whether we are in exile and tragedy or in harvest and in rejoicing. God has worked in the past. God will work in the future. We will be restored. We are being restored. In Psalm 126, the people of God are literally praying and singing their life experiences. So here we are at the winding down part of the spiral of our year. This particular liturgical year, which began last Advent, 2017, and moved into the new calendar year of 2018. And now we prepare for the new Advent that will move us to Christmas and into 2019. Even here in our sunny Colorado climate, this time of year can be challenging. When the dark closes in tighter and tighter, the weather grows cold. And we know that we are all challenged these days by the state of our country, the state of our world. Many of us feel in exile politically. There's still so much violence, so much hate, so much tragedy, intolerance, mistrust, greed, and we know these things have come around again and again and again through history. We may wonder, is our political system in Washington in exile from the ways of justice? How can God be in the midst of this? Where do we find the holy? The stock market is turning in concerning ways. Is this the beginning of some sort of economic instability? Where is God in the midst of this? Some of us anticipate the holidays with grief and trepidation. There will be an empty place at the holiday table that was filled last year. Or maybe loved ones that you've always had holidays with can't come home this year, or maybe you can't get home yourself. Where is the Holy One in the midst of the exile of grief? Is there a new and worrying diagnosis in your family, threatening emotional equilibrium? Where is God in the midst of this? And then there's all those regular stressors of job and school and in gearing up for the holiday that tug at our souls and drain our faith. Do we dare to dream the dreams those ancient Hebrew people dreamed, who were restored to home from captivity and exile in a foreign land? At this turning time of year, do we dare to sing and pray our relationship with God? Psalm 126 invites us into prayer no matter where we are at the turn of this year, whether we are in exile for some reason, whether we are in grief, waiting for the return of God's presence of renewal, whether we are in the joy of harvest or somewhere in between. There is a simple prayer process I have been revisiting in my life. It is the process of praying our life experiences. Not just sending God a barrage of words about how our experiences and how they do not measure, how they do and do not measure up to our expectations. I'm very good at that. I'm sure you all are too. But actually praying our experiences. So I invite you to join me in this process today. Get comfortable if you're not already. You need to wiggle about, plant your feet on the floor. Take a deep breath. Focus your attention inward, perhaps with your eyes closed. Perhaps those of you out here might want to focus on the cross or on one of our pyramids. Perhaps any of you might like to focus on the flame of the candle. And now pick an experience that is kind of niggling at you. A conflict, a conundrum, a stressor, or a great joy, a thankful memory that has been welling up in your heart these past few days. Pick something simple. Doesn't have to be the major problem of what am I going to do for the rest of my life. Just something. Put yourself in the situation. Perhaps you turn to your senses to say, what was I feeling, smelling, touching, tasting when this happened? If you picked a conflict or something that you are worried about, what is welling up within you? Just observe it. No judgments. Oh, I should have done this or should have done that. Just notice regrets, embarrassment, anger at yourself or at another. Notice if there is remorse or hurt. Forgiveness, or even that very human inability to forgive. If you picked a Thanksgiving, notice too what is coming up. The deep gratitude, how does that feel in your body? Great love. Is there a wider perception of the world? Are there very specific small details that are emerging? Everyday things, perhaps, that you are grateful for. Are you experiencing forgiveness that you didn't think possible for yourself or another? Sit with your experience. Observe it by putting it in the presence of the divine presence. It's already there, but intentionally place it in the hands or the heart or the light of the holy. Just allow it to be. As you continue to mull over your experience for another moment or so, realize that nothing has to be resolved. There is no action mandated. Though an action may be coming to your mind, your heart, for consideration. Being with this life experience in the presence of the holy, recognizing that you are surrounded by God, this is prayer. aimless spirit in the midst of your life. As we move out of this particular prayer experience, though it may linger throughout the rest of the service, and that is fine, just relax and release the experience into God's hands and heart, knowing that as you come back into this worship space and we continue our worship, that you are the only person in the experience that you can change. Perhaps God is prompting you with the question, what would you change about yourself that would bring even more compassion into a tough or a joyful situation? You can take a deep breath. Don't rush. You can wiggle your fingers and toes as you come back into this space. And I invite you to listen to your prayer over the next week. Perhaps as you're driving down the street or doing the dishes or setting the table, or it may come to you at odd times. Be creative and be attentive. Trust. In this turning time of year, we may feel as if we are sowing seeds in tears, as if we are going through the motions of life, casting our lives into unknown soil, and we cannot foresee the outcome. We may also feel that it is harvest time, and we are joyfully moving toward the holidays with renewed faith and remembrance. Wherever you are on the spiraling circle of life, trust the movement of God in your life. Trust the movement of this beautiful Psalm 126. The Holy One is always moving us toward transformation and restoration. As our faith seeks understanding in life's experiences, remember our ancestors' prayer. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, while they may experience great sorrow first, they will come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. Amen.